Let me pray before we look into God's word. Thank you, Father God, for the freedom we have to look into your word, to meet together this way this morning. We thank you for Connie and Wendy and the work that they've done with the Sunday school over this term. And Father, we pray that you would give them a good rest over this school holiday period. But as we look into your word now, Father, we pray that each of us has come here this morning with hearts that are willing to hear what your Holy Spirit would lead us into. So we thank you for our freedom, for the truth of your word, and pray you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking about having a checkup. Now, I'm not the best person to have sort of thought of this idea. I only go to the doctor when I'm at death's door, and I never go to the dentist until the pain is so unbearable So it's just an analogy. And I thought the doctor's a bad one because you don't really go to the doctor until you need to. Some people do go for a regular checkup, I guess, you know. But I think the dentist is probably a little bit of a more realistic analogy. You go to the dentist for a checkup. And when you go to the dentist, sometimes you come away you know, all you've had to do is have perhaps a little bit of a clean up and everything's good. Other people go to the dentist, just got one little cavity that needs to be filled and fixed up, you know, and others, you get the picture, the progression as things get worse and worse. And the longer you leave it, the more things will have to be done. I want us to think a little bit that way this morning. I want us to think that what we're doing this morning is having a bit of a checkup. We're having a bit of a checkup. Now, we're a church that believes that being dependent on God in prayer is one of those pillars of a healthy church. We believe that. And I want us to have a think about that as we meet together this morning. How are we as a church? How are we doing in this area? How are we doing individually? How are we doing collectively as a community of faith in Jesus? Your goal in visiting the dentist is to be healthy, to have healthy teeth, to go to the doctor, it's to be healthy, to live a healthy life. Our goal this morning is to look at this aspect of our church life. Have a look at where we're at, what we're doing. Are we a healthy church in terms of being devoted to God in prayer? Because that's what the Bible tells us to do. I don't want you to think of me as the dentist or the doctor. You're not visiting Dr. Lee. We're visiting Dr. Bible. And that's all we can do. Okay? That's all we can do. Odd name, but Dr. Bible provides a very good diagnosis and a really good treatment plan. So please, I'm looking at this as much as anybody else. Where are we at in our devotion to God in prayer? We are to be devoted to God in prayer as passionate disciples of Jesus. And as I stand here now and look at this, you know what it says? It says, as Eric read to us this morning in Romans 12. I'm so sorry, Eric. I'm so sorry. There he was, ready to go, really prepared. We do need to read that passage. We do need to read that passage, but it would be awkward. Romans 12:12 says this, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, devoted in prayer, dependent on God in prayer. Other words for faithful, your version might say, be consistent, be constant, be dedicated. But they're all interpretations of the same Greek word, which means devotion. Be devoted in prayer. And in the 10 times this word appears in the New Testament, 10 times this word, devotion, devoted, consistent, constant, the 10 times it appears in the New Testament, 5 times it relates to prayer. Half of those times it relates to prayer. Acts 1:14. They all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his James and his brothers. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And while each of us will have an individual approach to this critical aspect of discipleship, devotion to anything has one characteristic, I think, which applies to everyone who is devoted to anything. Action. Action. Engagement. Performance. Something you are doing. So we may say that according to the New Testament scriptures, a normal Christian life is a life devoted to prayer. And so this visit to have this checkup today on this devotion, this dedication, this commitment, is to get a sense of how this is working out in our lives individually and collectively as a church. So if normal Christian life is a life devoted to prayer, what does that look like? What should we look for in this devotion? Firstly, I think in this world, I think we're all kind of getting the picture that we are all individuals. Certainly at school, we are encouraged to think of each child individually. We have a plan, we have a program, but we have to deliver for each child in the way they learn in our lessons. Our devotion to prayer is going to look different for each child. One of us. There will be some aspects of life devoted to prayer that we should exhibit, but it will be different in each of our lives. Being devoted to prayer means there will be a pattern of prayer in your life that looks like devotion. It doesn't mean that this is all we do, although Paul does say in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray continually. What does that mean? How do you work that out? Well, that's not for today. But it does mean that there is a commitment, a regularity, a consistency to praying. All praying is good, but not all praying is part of this pattern. Not all praying is part of this pattern. Only praying when there's some kind of crisis or desperate need is not devotion to prayer. Only praying at mealtimes, although regular and consistent, is not a pattern of devotion to prayer. Only praying simple, childlike bedtime prayers, while helpful in developing a child in their pattern of praying, this is not the pattern of a mature follower of Jesus, not what you would define as being devoted to prayer. To live a life as a passionate disciple of Jesus, pleasing to God in every way, bearing fruit, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, our experience should be that we are devoted to prayer in a deeply meaningful and influential way in our life. Our vision of a healthy church where truth from the scriptures gives birth to worship and fruitful living is identified, we believe, by the people of the church being dependent on God in prayer. And I would say we cannot be dependent on God in prayer if we are not devoted to prayer ourselves in the first place. In Romans 12, Eric would have read a wonderful passage to us that outlined a lot of gifts for individual people within the church being one body and each person using those gifts to build up that church. But only individuals receive some of those gifts. But in those verses, in verse 13, they were aspects that were given to every member. We are all called to be devoted to God in prayer. Each one of us. Prayer is not a special gift given to one or two or three people. We are all called to be devoted to prayer. In our never-ending efforts to find the answer to the question, why should we pray? I hope to raise some points that will be helpful in moving us on in that journey of discovery, because I don't think we're ever going to wake up one morning and be fully able to understand why we should pray. And perhaps one morning you do wake up, and then 2 days later you wake up and it's gone. But I hope that what we talk about this morning will help you as we move forward in this journey of discovery about why we should pray. We must never forget prayer starts at one place. It starts at the cross. It starts at the cross of Christ. His death in our place, in the place of sinners, is the foundation of all prayer. It's why we pray in Jesus' name. John Piper says that there is no acceptable answer to why or how we pray if Christ had not died in our place, which is why we pray in his name. So to say that the Bible teaches us to pray so we should do it as just because that's what the Bible says, it has a little bit of merit, it has some merit, but it would be foolish and dangerous to disobey God. But the problem with that is prayer then becomes a bit of a ritual, doesn't it? Oh, I better do this. The Bible says I should do this. I better do it. It becomes a bit of a rule, a law. It becomes religion. And that's not what we're about. We're about faith. We're not about religion. And so how do we stop that? How do we stop that? If the Bible says we should do it, how do we stop it becoming just ritual or religion? To be devoted to prayer because the Bible says so has other aspects that we need to consider to help us understand why we should pray. To be devoted to prayer, we should be devoted to prayer because it builds our knowledge and our understanding of Jesus. Psalm 63, we just read it all together at the beginning. O God, my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. The Psalms are the prayers of David and many others who wrote them. This is his prayer, that he would know God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. How does your soul thirst for God? How do you out that in your life? What does that look like? A part of that is in your devotion to prayer. We are devoted to prayer because it builds our knowledge and understanding of Jesus. Colossians 1, 9-12 says this, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." It's a fantastic prayer. It's a wonderful, wonderful prayer. And at some point, I would encourage you just to go back to Colossians 1 and just write down all the things that Paul prays for and why he prays these things. But this morning, I think these verses remind us that praying builds our knowledge of Jesus. Growing in the knowledge of God, growing in the knowledge of his Son. And that's a worthy reason in itself to be devoted to pray. Be devoted to prayer because it is the key to the work of the gospel for the salvation of the lost. Ephesians 6, 18-20. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Now, of course, this is Paul asking his friends in Ephesus to pray for him as he shares the gospel. We've been encouraging you to think about your spheres of influence. We've been trying to think about training people here in Westview to share the gospel. Next week I'm going to say something else about this, but I'm going to give you a little heads up now. It doesn't matter what we do out the front here what tools we give you, what training we give you, what spheres of influence we ask you to consider and think about. If you are not praying into this, there will be no success in that at all. There will be no success at all. Paul wouldn't ask for the prayers of his friends if he didn't think they had a significant role in his mission in preaching the gospel. It's a principle we value and apply here in our mission partnerships. But if we're only doing this once a week on Sunday mornings and once a month at our community prayer nights, we're robbing ourselves of the joy of being a part of the work of the gospel. We're robbing ourselves of that joy. How much more significant do you think the stories of our COBUS workers and mission partners would be if we were more invested in them through our devotion to prayer for them and their work? In Romans 10, Paul earnestly prays for the salvation of Israel, of his nation, for his people. His letters are littered with requests for prayer, for his mission, and for the lost. Be devoted to prayer, because it is the key to the work of the gospel for the salvation of the lost. Be devoted to prayer because God values your prayers. Do you ever think of that? Do you ever think of that? It's hard work sometimes. It's a challenge to get up early or to find a time in the day or to consistently set aside a time in the day to pray. God values your prayers. Oh, that's nice, Lee. How much does he value them? Well, this is Revelation 5. Revelation 5, 6 to 8. Then I saw a lamb looking like it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders, the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he'd taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. How many times have you read that? I mean, if you've been reading through the New Testament and the Bible in this church over many, many years, I don't know, probably 10 or 12 times we've read that. But this is how much God values these prayers. They're in these golden bowls, and they're like an incense to him. They're such a pleasant fragrance to him. Though your prayers seem poor, simple, disjointed, unsophisticated, maybe you think you wouldn't pray them out loud because others wouldn't value them, God values your prayers. Every one of them is valuable to him. He keeps them in these golden bowls because he values them so much. Your prayers are valued by your community as well, no matter what you think of your prayers. I can only say this from my own experience here. The encouragement that comes from people coming together, praying together, is beyond anything I can exaggerate. To meet together Sunday morning, we met together this morning for 15 minutes before we come in here to see that group of people who come in, who want to come together and pray. It's a huge encouragement. We meet once a month for a community prayer night here at the church. Once a month. It's a huge encouragement to me when people come out to pray. It's not easy. It's not easy to get up 15 minutes earlier and come here on a Sunday morning. So don't do it every Sunday. Come once a month, once a fortnight, whenever you can. You just get here early and you just think to yourself, oh, I'm here. I can pop in for 5 minutes. Once a month on a Sunday night. How to do that? Once a term, once a quarter, every now and then. I can't exaggerate how encouraging it is when people come together to pray. Be devoted to prayer because God acts when we pray. James 5, 13 to 17. Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. It's that simple, isn't it? If anyone is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Michelle, I encourage you to do that at home in the quietness of our bedroom where no one else hears you. But please do it. Please do it. He should call the elders. Is anyone sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the person sick well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's a depth of relationship there that we need to really consider, isn't there? In our devotion to God in prayer. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. If you're involved in the one-to-one discipleship program, I guess that's a great opportunity to get to a point where you can do that. But here's a letter written to a church that was read out loud to everyone who was there. How does this fit with our pattern, our devotion to prayer in Westview today? Confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. But this is the point I wanted to make here from this passage. The prayer of a righteous person, man, woman, is powerful and effective. They're interesting words, aren't they? The prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. There's a lot in this passage we would do well to consider, but I want us to think about these two words. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. What is the role of prayer in this passage and in this statement in particular? Is it the trigger that allows God to work in our lives? Is that what prayer is in this passage? Is it the missing cog that completes the mechanics of God's actions in healing or acting in other ways, other supernatural ways? Who is a righteous enough person to offer such prayers? Prayer is about giving God power. Is prayer about giving God power or ability or even authority to act? Isn't God sovereign? Isn't he sovereign in his will and his purpose, and he will act whenever he chooses, whether we pray or not? So what is the role of prayer here? In John 14, Jesus responds to Philip's request that he show them the Father and they'll be satisfied. In his response to Philip, amongst other things, Jesus says this in John 14:12-14. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do even greater things than these. Jesus is referring here to the miracles he's performed as part of his ministry here on earth. Anyone who has faith in me will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. It's a huge statement. Huge. But as he continues his address to his disciples, which goes into chapter 15, he describes the vine and the branches. And then in chapter 16, this is all the same conversation that he's having. He's talking about going away and offers words of comfort to them. And he says this in 16:24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Ask, receive, glorify God, your joy will be complete. It's no good just taking the one bit out that we all like and we all want to hear and we all think would be great. I can ask for anything and he will do it. We all want that. Ask, receive, glorify God, your joy will be complete. The prayer offered by faith, offered in faith by a righteous person, not perfect, not sinless, living a right life in Christ though, that person will see the joy of praying powerful, effective prayers because they will see God act to the praise of his glory and grace. Not to the praise of what we want, not to the praise of our own desires and our own needs and wants, whatever the motive for them is. We will see God act to the praise of his glory, and our joy will be complete in that. In his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, John Piper says, God's goal to be glorified will not succeed without the powerful proclamation of the gospel. And the gospel will not be proclaimed in power to all the nations without the earnest, faith-filled prayers of his people. This is an awesome place of prayer in the purpose of God for our world. That purpose won't happen without prayer. Be devoted to prayer because God acts when we pray. Now, I hope I'm right in saying that if we are devoted to prayer, then this is going to be one of the ways we're going to be transformed in the renewing of our minds. I'm sure I'm right in saying that. One of the ways we're going to be become mature in our faith, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, urging them to live lives that please God more and more. God values our prayer, so it goes that being devoted to prayer pleases him. So how to do this more and more in our lives and as a church? Back to the checkup with Dr. Bible. Does your devotion to God reflect a growing maturity in your knowledge of God through his word? Does your devotion to prayer reflect a growing maturity in your knowledge of God through his word? Are you praying the promises of the scriptures? Do you know the promises, or do you read the promises and pray them? Do you pray that God will make you salt and light, that you will shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life? Do you pray that God will help you love your enemies, will help you to stop worrying, stop judging others? Do you pray the warnings in the Bible that many times we are cautioned to be ready, to watch, to be on our guard? God, do you pray those things in your life? Paul's warnings to the church to guard their lives. Jesus' teaching against hypocrisy, the pursuit of wealth, lust. Have you worked out how to pray that wonderful passage in Matthew 5, 29 to 30? Jesus speaking, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Have you worked out how to pray that in your life? Being devoted to prayer might mean that having a regular pattern of praying will be helpful. And we use that pattern of the Lord's Prayer here in our church. We use that pattern regularly. It's really helpful. We use our daily devotionals, perhaps. Many here do that in their personal prayer time. Perhaps Paul's prayers in Ephesians and Colossians will help you to establish that pattern of praying. Perhaps a psalm or a combination of a few psalms will guide you in your prayers as you hallow God, as you pray for the work of the kingdom, as you ask for your daily bread, as you confess your sins, seek forgiveness, and pray not to be tempted or drawn into the plans of the evil one. That's a good pattern to follow. Whatever your pattern of praying looks like for you as a passionate disciple of Jesus, be devoted to it. Be devoted to it. This will mean regular praying alone in the quietness of your own personal space, but it will mean regularly praying with others. It will mean regularly praying with others. I don't know about you, but sometimes this is when the dentist, that little hook thing he has that he digs into you, you know it's going to hurt. You know it's going to be painful. This is where it starts to hurt a little bit, perhaps. While only you and God know where you're at in terms of your personal pattern of praying, it's no secret that our corporate, collaborative patterns of praying as a community of faith is not one of our strengths at Westview. Is that an honest statement? Is that something we can honestly say? But it's one of the hallmarks of the early church, wasn't it? It's one of the hallmarks of the early church throughout the ages. We're not going to read all those verses, but look them up and think about the example that they are to us today. Acts 1, 12 to 14 finds the confused and bewildered disciples and the other followers of Jesus back in that upper room constantly praying. Peter's great address to the crowds in Jerusalem saw about 3,000 people come to faith in Jesus. In Acts 2:42, he tells us what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Not the apostles, the 3,000 who came to faith devoted themselves to prayer. In Acts 12, Peter's in prison. He's chained between two soldiers, and God miraculously intervenes to release him. When he returns to the place where the believers are meeting, he finds them praying, all of them, in that room. And this church, throughout its history, has a good record of praying together in those times of crisis and desperate need. But our efforts to meet together regularly, consistently, to collectively delight in praying and enjoying God and corporately building our knowledge of Jesus through prayer, not our strength. Offering our communal praise and thanks and adoration to God, not something I think that we particularly do well. Being devoted to prayer will result in praying alone and with others. It will result in those short, exciting, explosive prayers where you pray just because you're prompted by the Spirit for many reasons and at many times. At other times, you'll be led into deep, extended times of prayer as you struggle with situations that cause you pain, as you seek guidance, wisdom, to understand God's word, circumstances you find yourself wrestling in prayer, as Epaphras did in Colossians 4. Being devoted to prayer will look different for each of us, but it has some common characteristics that apply to all of us collectively as a church. It can be a pattern formed around the scriptures. It can be spontaneous and free in its form. I hope it is regular and as much a part of your daily life as eating. I hope it is. Being devoted to prayer will be both personal and communal. It will result in praying in those times of crisis and desperate need in every day, and it will be part of your daily worship of God. I hope it is. No matter what it looks like for you, my hope is that it is a big part of how you're being transformed through the renewing of your mind to conform more and more to the image of Christ, the pattern of His will. That the Spirit of wisdom is helping you know Jesus better. I hope your devotion to prayer grows and develops so that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God our Father. That's Paul's prayer. That's our prayer for each other. That's our prayer as a church seeking to be passionate disciples of Jesus, dependent on Him in prayer. We should pray, hey? We should. Father God, we do know that this is not always easy. And Father, we don't want to use your scriptures or teaching or each other to make life more difficult. We pray, Father God, that what we have heard from your word this morning gives us strength, gives us motivation, gives us a desire to be devoted to you in prayer. Because you value our prayers, because you value each one of us, and because it's a part of your work in seeing people saved, because it brings glory to you. Father God, we pray that each of us will encourage each other to be more devoted to prayer. Thank you, Father God, for the truth of your word. We do understand how sometimes it causes us to examine ourselves and we see our shortcomings. But Father God, we pray that through your strength and your spirit, we will be encouraged to move forward in this area of our church life and perhaps individually. And so, Father, I pray that you would encourage us through your word this morning in this area, in Jesus' name. Amen.